All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, November 5th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we have some NBA, NHL, and college football action coming at you on this Wednesday. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, so you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim app pulled up here. Quick announcement. This will be our last show of the week, and then we will be picking it back up Tuesday of next week. So just so you guys know here. All right. Really quickly, let me just change one small thing here. And then we will get into questions. I already have some questions queued up, so we should be good to go on that front. All right, that should do it. All right, so getting SaberSim up. And first question of the day, and there's two questions that are like kind of alike, so I'm going to group a couple questions together. So this one says, which template is better to use, all contests in one group per contest, or Saber System? And then we have another question. And let's get this slate up. We have a similar question. This one says, would love to better understand common use cases / applications for rules during build. Also, same question, but for templates, best practices on when to use one group for all contests versus separate groups for each contest. So this part has like two questions in one, but one of the questions is the same as the first one. So I will just answer these two, and then it should capture that first one. So when to use rules, right? Okay, so the way I think about rules is kind of two ways. Number one, SaberSim is doing something you never want it to do, okay? Number two is kind of opposite, kind of similar, is SaberSim isn't doing something you absolutely want it to do, right? So the first example where it's like doing something you never want, maybe you never want to play three players from the same team in an NBA contest, right? You're like, you know what? It's a big 11-game slate. I don't want to play three players from the same team. That's something that people will use. So that would be a good opportunity to write a rule. And you come in here and you say group automatic, use no more than three, group by team, right? This would be a way of writing that rule. So you got to figure out like, what do you want? What don't you want? Maybe in NFL, you always want a pass catcher paired with their quarterback, and you never want to play a QB plus zero. So it's like, hey, I always want a pass catcher with the quarterback. But SaberSim, even maybe it's only giving you a small amount, it's giving me 3% QB plus zeros. And I don't want that, right? I always want the pairing there, right? So that would be an opportunity to write a rule as well. We do not have rule recommendations. We just don't operate that way. You know, we think our optimizer does a really good job of capturing a lot of these things. The only time we do have some rule recommendations would be like for some sports, we have some default rules. So like, for instance, in MMA, right? If we go to like the next MMA slate, which is on Saturday, when you go to the rules, there is a rule turned on automatically that says don't use opposing fighters. Why? Because only one of them could win. Only one of them can get the win bonus. And they're usually, you know, the negative correlation between fighters in the same fight is highly, highly negative, right? You usually don't want to play two fighters from the same fight. So this is like a default rule that we have on. So outside of like any default rules like that, we don't really have any recommendations, but we obviously have, you have the ability to go in and write rules as needed. All right. Second question. Talking about the template options, right? So let's talk about these. So there's three default templates. Okay. The first one is called all contests in one group. Second one that some people might see is called direct fill. And then the third one is one group per contest. So what do these do, right? One group per contest will give you, say you have, let's do an example. You have 220 maxes, right? One group per contest would give you two groups, both with 20 lineups, right? This is what one group per contest would look like. All contests in one group would give you one group with 20 lineups, where the 20 lineups are going to be duplicated into both contests. Contest one gets the 20, contest two gets the same 20. The direct fill option would give you one group with 40 lineups, where you have two contests. They're all of your entries are going to get a unique lineup. Now, there isn't a wrong or right time to use these. These are all, they all serve like kind of a different user. There are some people who like to say, hey, I'm going to build 20 lineups. I'm going to build 150 lineups. And I'm just going to play these 150 across all my contests, right? I just want to build 150 lineups. I'm playing a mix of single entry, 3 max, 20 max, 150. I just want to have 150 and I want to play them. I want to duplicate them. Some people would say, hey, if I'm playing 220 maxes, I definitely don't want to use the same 20 lineups. And instead, I want to play a unique lineup in every entry to give myself more shots on goal. Right? That's kind of their our recommended approach is play a unique lineup for each unique entry. So that would be an opportunity to use the direct fill one. The one group per contest and direct fill ones are very, very similar, where you are playing a unique lineup in every entry unless you turn off this toggle, avoid duplicates across lineup groups. So for direct fill, remember that you get one group of 40. Well, the one per contest, you get two groups of 20. By default, this is going to give you 40 unique lineups when this toggle is on, because it's saying, hey, if 20 lineups were used here, don't use any of them again. If you turn this off, well, now you can get duplicates. Now, not to say that you will, but you might. And so you might end up with 30 unique lineups or something like that, right? Where some of them are duplicated across the groups. The difference is here, I think, that when I would recommend using one versus the other is if you are going to use a lot of min-max exposures, I would opt for this direct fill one, okay? Where it's taking all of your contests, putting them into a group, and then setting the number of lineups to my entries, okay? I think that one works best if you're using a lot of minimax exposures. The main reason is because your exposures get sent individually to each group. So sometimes, say, you know, you're playing a 3 max and a 20. Well, you set some exposures. Trying to send all those exposures to the 3 max, but maybe you don't even have enough roster spots, right? What if it doesn't even make sense? You can run into issues with hitting your exposures, right? So I would say a more hands-off approach should use one group per contest. A more hands-on approach should use direct fill. And then for those people who want to just play a certain number of lineups and duplicate them, they should use the all contests in one group option. So that is the way I would do that. All right. Next question. I'm trying to figure out the best way to get a player to show up in my lineups for NBA last night for the after hours On FanDuel, Quentin Post was projected for about 21 points. I boosted his projection lightly to 25 and still didn't get him in a lineup. I'm finding that I would have had to boost him to like 30 maybe to get him to show up. Is there any other way that can help? Ownership adjustments or anything? I like to trust the Sims in your projections without having to make major adjustments. But at the same time, if I see a player I like, I don't know if I gamble and give him a major projection boost in order to get him in. Okay, good question. Yeah, Post is a highly, highly volatile center. Could start and play 15 minutes. Could start and play really well, like he played yesterday, right? So this gets pretty hard. I think the projections tend to take a little bit more of a conservative approach, just in general, you know? So when we see players who have this really wide range of outcomes, right? Like if you go and look at Post game logs, he's kind of all over the place. It's going to tend to lean on the more conservative side. Now, if you want to be on the other side of that, I think that's okay, right? I would do two things. Number one is I would boost his projection to like a level that you think is fair, you know? Maybe here I give him like a couple point boosts, right? Okay. I like him. I'm going to give him like a 2-point bump. Along with that, you can use the minimum exposure column to be like, hey, you know, I want to see at least 10% of him, right? So I think a combination of telling the builder, hey, one, I think this guy's going to do a little bit better than you're projecting. And then two, I want to guarantee I get some of him in my lineup. So I think a combo of minimum exposure and projection is the way to go here. And hopefully that should be able to get you what you need. All right, next question. Need help with MEA. First, what metric is most important when choosing which lineups? Second, should I be making rules or templates or just letting the sim work? Okay, good question here. So let me jump over here. All right, so this is a starter user. So the first thing, right, is that when you use SaberSim, you're diversity option by default. Well, first thing I would do, right, is one, I would upload my entry file, right? So like, let's say I go grab an entry file. I think I have one here. Okay. Download. Bring in my entry file, right? Then what I would do is I would pick a template. I would use the one group per contest. It's one I recommend. That's why I start it. So now I have a template, right? Okay, great. Cool. Awesome. From here, right, is I would stick with the portfolio diversity. It's going to be the best option. So portfolio on starter uses saver score. So it's going to optimize your portfolio based around saver score, which is very good option. So stick with saver score there. Some metrics maybe you want to view, right? I recommend using this projection and saber score aggregate metrics. Okay. If you're on ultimate, I recommend using projection and ROI. I have all three up here because those work best for like covering all of the bases here, but we're going to run these lineups, right? So running 500. And almost done. So sim runs, check. Okay, we got to run the diversifier. So this happens automatically on starter, the diversifier running and all that. And then you get here, right? So some good things to look at, your projection and your saber score. The reason these are good to look at is because let's say I start making adjustments, right? Let's say I come in here. And maybe I set a minimum exposure to Siakam or a maximum exposure to him, right? To limit him. What I'm going to do, I'm going to note these values. And then once the change goes through, I'm going to see, well, how much did these values move, right? Projection came down about a point. My saber score came down about 18 points. And this is a percentage. This is the ROI. So it was at 140%. Now it's at 122. right? So what you want to do is you want to make sure that the adjustments that you make don't have too big of an impact on your aggregate metrics that you're viewing. Now, what is too big of an impact, right? Well, it's a little subjective for me, right? I probably wouldn't want to see my projection drop more than 3 to 5 points. And my Saber score, I wouldn't want to see it drop more than like 10 to 20%. So like my projection was 315 and I go to 314, that feels okay. My projection is 315, I go down to 310. Maybe I need to ease up a little bit, you know? Maybe I need to not be so aggressive and so hands-on. Saber score goes from 140 to 122, feels okay. My Saber score goes from 140 to 100. You know, maybe I'm being too aggressive, right? Again, it's subjective, but it also depends how much conviction you have in the adjustments that you're making. So for me, it's like, okay, well, maybe taking Siakam from, you know, 40% to 10 was aggressive, right? Maybe I just need to, you know, match his ownership or something like that, right? And his ownership is about 25%. So maybe I meet the builder in the middle where I go from 45 to 10, where I went from 45 to 10, I go from 45 to 25. Maybe that has less of an impact on my values, right? So it's kind of the lens I'm looking at it from. Second part is we kind of answered this one, right? Like the rules and the templates, we did walk through those at the beginning of the show. So I would answer those the same way. You know, if you missed it, go back a little bit, but remember rules. If it's doing something you don't want, if it's not doing something you do want, those are good opportunities to write rules. All right. Next question. For college football classic contests, when I generate my lineups, let's say I do a 20 max, maybe only one or two will have a running back in the flex. Sometimes it has been zero lineups have a running back in the flex spot. I tried only selecting the running back position in the flex tab, and it didn't change anything, even though all the wide receivers are blocked out. How can I change this? I don't always want a running back there, but mostly I do. Okay, so I think in college football, the main thing you're going to see in the flex is usually quarterbacks. You're mostly going to see quarterbacks in the flex. I think that's like really common just because they grade out so well. They project so well. However, you can control this. You can't say like, oh, I want 75% running backs in the flex. Unfortunately, you got to be like a little bit hands-on to do this. So what I would probably do is, first off, there's like a couple rules you can write. Okay. So like, let's say like, it's like, this is what a, college football lineup look like: quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, a flex and a super flex, right? So let's say maybe you never want a quarterback in the super flex, you know, maybe, you know, or maybe you always want a quarterback in the super flex, right? There are some rules you can write that can help this, right? Maybe I want three running backs. You know, I want a running back in slot one, running back in slot two, and then a running back in the flex. I could write a rule, and this is a good opportunity for a rule, right? Like we've been kind of talking about. Use at least three, and then I would put running backs. So if I save a rule like this, use three running backs. And let's cancel this. Let's see if this works. Should work. So we're running a test here, trying to get more running backs in our lineups. Good news is it's building lineups. That means we didn't break anything. And this is almost done. I'm just going to cancel it. It'll give us enough lineups. All right. So generate some lineups. I'm just going to create a build here. Do 20 lineups. And we don't need portfolio for this. All right, so here, and we're going to use expanded view. So we set a rule, right, to use three running backs. Now, when I go to my flex, and then we're going to sort by exposure, I'm seeing all running backs. And then in the super flex, I'm seeing all quarterbacks, right? This is like a very hands-on approach where I've told SaberSim, hey, I want running backs. I want to use three running backs, whether you put it in flex or S-flex is like up to you. But it's opting for the flex, and then it's opting for the quarterback still, which makes sense in the super flex. So this is one way of doing it, right? Another way would be to just kind of control this via min-max exposures, like after the build runs. So let's say I make two adjustments here. I'm going to run 500 lineups with no rules, right? This time I have no rules on. So we're going to run these lineups. And we're just going to end this build. And let's make a group with 20 lineups. And then let's just change this to Saber score. All right, so this time we didn't have a rule on. Let's sort by exposure again. And then let's go to our flex. So this time we're seeing a mix, right? We're seeing some running backs, some receivers. You know, if I were to add these up, right? Okay, 25 plus 10 is 35, 45% running back. We have 50% running back, 50% receiver, right? Well, what if you don't want that, right? What if you want it to be closer to kind of 75-25, right? Now, what I would do is I would start setting max exposures for the receivers, and I would probably be doing my lowest exposed receivers first. So let's just move this over. So then I would come in here. Let's move over max exposure too. So then, okay, I'm going to get rid of like my 5%ers, right? And I'm going to try and get rid of 25%. It's kind of my goal here. So this is 15%, 20%, 25%, right? I've gotten rid of 25% receiver exposure in the flex. Now, this doesn't guarantee that that exposure is going to go to running backs. So we're going to have to check, but it's more likely that it does. So here we're up to 45, 55, we're up to 65% receivers, right? So we got rid of 25% receiver exposure. We got 10% back. So now it's a good opportunity to like decide if you want to go further. Say you do, right? Okay, I really want to get to the 75-25 mark. So then I get rid of another 10%, and then I try again, right? And you can just kind of iterate over this process. Until you know you're satisfied. But I think it makes sense to start kind of from the bottom up, take away those lower exposed players, and then slowly climb up here. So right now we're at 70-30. I think that gets the point across. But those are the two ways I would consider doing that. All right. Good stuff. Next question. Are the default slider settings ever changed from backtesting? I never think of the sliders anymore, but I'm wondering if there are any cases to switch it up from the default. So we back tested the sliders to figure out their current values. We haven't back tested them since the last change. We do that project, I don't know, maybe once a year. where we set up all the slider defaults. Now, I think it's okay to change them. And again, this kind of goes back to like rules where, you know, sometimes like why would I change the sliders? You know, it's like what I think. And it's like, I would change them if maybe I want my lineups to look different. What could that mean? Right. So let's say that this is regular NFL, right? Maybe I'm not getting enough stacks. Maybe I want bigger stacks. I want more QB plus threes. I want more game stacks. I want more secondary stacks, all those type of things, right? Well, for NFL, your sliders are usually like 6-7. That would be a good opportunity to come in here and increase correlation, right? Hey, I'm going to run a build on 7 correlation, 8, 9, 10. What do my stacks look like when I increase it? And do they look closer to what I want them to look like, right? That's a really good opportunity to come in here and change the sliders. So maybe, you know, you're using custom projections or like your own projections and you want to play closer to those, right? You really want to lean on your projections because you think they're good. Okay, well then I could just come in here and lower sim diversity, because the lower and lower I make sim diversity, the more it's going to rely on my average projections, right? So there are use cases where I think it can make sense to move them in one direction or another. But I don't think you should just move them for the sake of moving them, right? It's like, hey, am I seeing something I don't want? Are adjusting the sliders a way of combating that? And if yes, you know, okay, go ahead and move it. If no, you know, maybe think of like a different way of accounting for whatever you're trying to account for. But those are my thoughts on sliders. All right. The other night for NBA, I made a mistake of starting a fresh build 2 minutes before lock. I missed getting it in by about a second. I tried to upload my entries so I would have accurate lineups in SaberSim for late swapping. I had 11 three maxes, all with the same three lineups. But when I tried re-uploading entries, it put 33 different lineups in those instead of three. How do I avoid this? Good question. So the way you avoid this, it sounds like you want to keep the same three lineups in the 11 three maxes, if I'm following along. The way you would do this is before you click the late swap button, click the gear icon on the late swap button. Turn this toggle group duplicates and make it on where it's green, like this one up here. What this will do is that if you have any lineup in more than one contest, it will make sure that the lineup gets replaced by the same lineup in both contests. So simple example, if I have one lineup in two single entries, if I late swap normal, I'm going to get two new lineups. If I group duplicates, I'm going to get one lineup in both contests. That would solve the problem of you going from three lineups in 11 three maxes to 33 unique lineups, which you don't want in this case. So this toggle controls that for you. All right. Next question. Is there a 2025 NBA strategy video for Saber School, or is 24 still viable? So the apps changed a lot since the 2024 one, as far as like layout and, you know, kind of process here. I think we're moving away from like sport specific videos, and we're relying much more on the Saber system videos and what is in here. So I think the Saber system videos are really, really good. You know, we have different kind of stage one videos for like different type of users. And then we have a stage two video that just came out. So check these out. I think it talks more basically about like a process that you can use across any sport and is not specific to one sport. I think that's kind of the direction we're trying to go. So check that out. Obviously, let us know if you have questions about it. But I would say the Saber system videos are the best thing to watch. And I wouldn't worry if it's recorded on an NFL slate, if it's recorded on an NBA slate, right? I think that Jordan is obviously a very good coach and will give you ideas and tips and tricks that are able to be carried over sports to sport. All right. Can you run a demo for the strategy for 2025 NBA? Yeah. So we kind of already ran like a build here, right? The big thing is very, very minimal work up front. You know, no filters, no rules, no slider settings. You know, max minimum salary is already pretty high. It's really, you know, a lot up front, trusting the models and the projections. And, you know, the team works really hard on these. We have a team of analysts that build our NBA projections. And it's running the build, you know, using your template. And then once you get to this point, right, after you build, after, you know, we recommend using portfolio, diversifying, it's really about dialing this in, right? And where you, I think, want to spend the most of your time is looking at a couple things, right? Looking at your exposures, looking at your leverage, right? You might look at this and maybe 75% of a player feels like too much. Okay, you know, we can lower them. That's totally okay. Maybe I lower it closer to the next highest exposure. And then I apply it. I re-diversify. I reanalyze this. Okay. Well, maybe I also don't want to have, you know, 40% leverage on any one player. Then, okay, you know, I can lower this player, you know, maybe like 45. That'll bring them a lot closer to my next leverage. And, you know, now I'm just managing risk. I'm dialing this in. I'm making sure that I'm comfortable with all of the stands I'm taking and the players that I'm choosing, you know, before the slate starts, right? So in as far as like where I think you're going to have the most impact is in this phase, right? Like, hey, you know, okay, I'm making some adjustments. You know, did I check my projection, my Saber score or my ROI? Are these things moving too much? Are my changes okay? You know, so like aggregate metrics, combination of projection and Saber score or projection and ROI, combination of exposures and leverages are like really where you kind of want to spend your time. And then once you're satisfied with that, right, you save these, you download them, and then you upload them to your contest. So those are the big things there. All right. Question, will there be college basketball projections for this season? I didn't see any on FanDuel last night. I'm going to say no. We have never had college basketball projections year to date. We do have the slates in the app, so users can use our optimizer in order to build lineups, but you would have to provide custom projections. So you can use the builder, but have to provide your own inputs for college basketball. That is one of the few sports that's true for. I think right now it's college basketball, CS2, and then for soccer, we only support EPL. So any other league, you would have to use custom projections as well. Everything else on this list, we have projections for. COD, EPL soccer, WNBA, and then definitely everything above that. All right. John said, I didn't even get a chance to get the late swap stage right on upload. My entries showing in Saber were 33 uniques. Familiar with the group duplicates toggle. When I tried to re-upload into Saber, there were 33 uniques. Okay. Unfortunately, I'm not like 100% sure. And my ability to troubleshoot situations like this are obviously limited on the show. What I would instead do is I would have done this like in the moment, right? When you're having an issue in like real time, right? Go to the top right, go to report a problem. These go straight to our team. Okay. And like, if you look at the question mark here, you know, our normal response time is under 15 minutes. It is probably even faster in the hour leading up to lock and the hour after lock. We make a very concentrated effort to be around and be very, very available for our customers experiencing problems in real time. So I'm not saying it's your fault like at all. I really don't know. But what I'm saying is like it would be probably better for you and a better opportunity for us to give you a good customer experience if you like reported this like live as it was happening, and then we could try and solve it with you. And hopefully we could do that, you know, before the next lock window, right? Like if this was right after lock tonight and you're experiencing this problem at 4:05 Pacific time, hopefully if we get the report fast enough, we can help you get it resolved before, you know, 4:30 PM Pacific time when those games lock, right? Like that would be like the ideal situation for us is to get you an answer as fast as possible to get you back on the track that you want. So that's what I'm thinking there. Thanks in theory, though, my lineups should go into Saber as they are in DK. They should. Something to consider is, and I've seen this before, like myself, like I click save, right? Okay, I go to download. Sometimes on the site, for whatever reason, my files like on my download pop-up. Let's see. Hold on. Try scan. Okay, so take me to FanDuel, right? I download the file. Okay, let's say I go to CSV edit. And then when I choose file, sometimes this isn't in order right away. Sometimes, you know, my downloads get out of order and I'm not able, and maybe I click on the wrong one, right? Like that does happen. And it happens to everybody. Like it's happened to me, it's happened to people I know, other people on the team, customers as well. So make sure you're clicking the right file. I just always make sure it's sorted by date modified and that it's sorted like from the top down, or you misclick and you pick the one under it, right? But generally, however your lineups are on DK is what they should come into in SaberSim. All right, next question. New subscriber, welcome. Can you touch on how to select a single entry lineup for NFL? Yeah, so I think that it's a couple of really good resources here in Saber School, in the Saber system, okay? You're going to want to check out, and let me remove my face, one of these two videos. So I would probably start, I'm not sure which one's best going to suit you. I would check them both out. They kind of come at it from like a little different approach, where the hand builder's guide kind of like has like kind of a core, kind of what they want. Picker's guide likes to see different like approaches and like, you know, let me look at these different lineups, kind of compare them. So I think one of these two videos will like really, really serve your purpose really well. As far as just like how to build NFL lineups, I think our projections should be up. Our projections usually go up, in case anybody doesn't know, they go up Wednesday afternoons, usually after like first injury reports come out. So they should be up by now. And we got the upcoming main slate. All right. So let's say I'm playing NFL, two minimum required projection adjustments, right? Leaning on SaberSim there. Build lineups. And while these run, we get another question in the queue. All right. So Simran, and let's say we're going to create a group for a single entry, right? One lineup here. And for this, I'm just going to use Saber Score. So there's a couple different ways to do this, right? Depends how you want to see it. Some people don't like to view their lineups kind of in this row format, right? Maybe you want to look at some and pick one, right? Okay, what I would do is you could change the number of lineups here, right? I could say, hey, show me the top 10 lineups. I can go to my settings. I can turn off this compact lineup view to view these lineups expanded. I can also drag this lineup pane out where I can see more lineups side by side, right? Maybe I want to see three. Maybe I want to see two options, you know, and then kind of see them side by side. I can scroll down. Some other ideas, right? Maybe you want to like, okay, maybe I want to see certain players, right? Okay, maybe I want to look at the top 50 lineups. And maybe I want to see all of the combos that have Jackson Dart. And I want him paired with a pass catcher. So I'm going to go Jackson Dart. And I'm going to remove the no QB stacks, right? So now I've gone from 50 lineups down to 13. And then I can come in here and I can do the same thing, right? Okay, what do all these lineups look like? And maybe you start to use filters to narrow in on the sets of lineups, right? Maybe there's a high dollar play that you like. You're like, okay, I got my Jackson Dart stack check, but you know what? I really like lineups that have Christian McCaffrey. All right, cool. So I've narrowed this down to three lineups and I can come in here and I can look at them all. And then, you know, maybe I end up liking lineup two. Okay, great. What I would do is I would lock it. I would turn off all these filters, which I could do up here. All right. And then I change my lineups back to one. And now I'm left with the one lineup that I locked. Now I can save it and upload it to my contest. So a bunch of different ways to do this. I think we definitely covered some good tips and tricks as far as like viewing your lineups, viewing more lineups, using the filters, all those type of things. So I would start there. And that's how I'd be trying to pick one lineup for NFL. All right, next question. Why the big difference between max and min saber score when I run a build? Like 200 max, 0.9 min, no changes have been made to projections. Yeah, so, got an awesome thing, so check out the videos, right on. All right, so getting back to this question. That's pretty normal. You know, your highest ROI lineup compared, it also depends on how many lineups you're playing, right? That's like another thing. It's like, okay, well, how many lineups are you playing? And then the more lineups you're playing, I would say you can expect like a bigger gap. And then probably the less lineups you're playing, like if you're building three, you're probably going to see like a pretty high minimum. I wouldn't worry so much about like the range there. That's why I use averages. You know, I don't really care for like the min-max stuff. I think, you know, on any day, like the max is like you winning the contest. And then you got to remember, like, you're the cashing rate in the contest you're playing, right? Or it's like somewhere between usually like 20 and 25%. It means like one out of four, one out of five lineups that you play are going to cash and the other four to five lineups aren't. So like, let's say I'm playing a 20 max. And it's a 25% cash rate. That means that 15 of my 20 lineups on average will not cash. And only about five of them will, right? I don't think a lot of people like kind of always pick up on that. But I think it's pretty normal to I think your lineups lose a lot of equity kind of faster than like people realize like earlier on in a slate. So I'm a little bit more concerned with like the averages. Wide min maxes are okay. And I think that the builder plays a wide range to kind of help smooth out your results. You know, like if this is why we created portfolio basically is because when you just sort by ROI, well, there are certain combinations and certain players kind of driving the ROI. So you're going to get a lot of the same players, like up at the top, like here, right? If I switch from Portfolio Plus to Uniques One, I would bet you across 24 lineups that my minimum ROI would be a lot higher if I use Uniques One, but my exposures are going to be a lot more concentrated, right? My top exposure is like 79%. I have 58 players in my player pool. With Portfolio, I'm going to be a lot more spread out, but in a very intelligent and kind of smart way here, right? So like we're going to rediversify. And now my top exposure is 58%. I have 62 players in my player pool, so I've added some players. I've spread out some exposures. And yeah, my average ROI is lower, but it's because I'm not as concentrated as previously. And this will probably mean I have a wider range of saver scores, of ROIs. I think that's okay. So I think the portfolio diversifier is really, really good. And I think that it is selecting lineups in an intelligent way. But if you don't like it, you know, it is okay to come in here and sort by Uniques One and use straight saber score, right? Your minimum will probably be a lot higher if you did that. But just understand what else that comes with. All right. I think we are all caught up here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I will not see you guys tomorrow. No office hours the rest of the week. So until we chat again, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.